sometimes when you are involved in the transportation ministry, ministry of helps, you're always carrying people about, ferrying them, ferrying the sick here, ferrying the sick there to be prayed, ministered to, or carrying people to a meeting, and you carry and carry and carry until your car, you have to change your tires many times because those people were slightly big. And all kinds of things, etc. And you, the wear and tear increases. Or perhaps you invite them to their homes. All these things, every small sacrifice made, all in the giving of finances to help people who are in need, to help the poor, besides giving to the ministry, etc. All these things, God see that you are doing it because of the love of God, and there's a reward out there. So there is a judgment of believers for rewards. There's another judgment in Matthew 25, which is a different judgment. It's called the judgment of nations. Matthew 25 verse 31-32. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him. This is the judgment of nations. Then in chapter 20 of Revelations, is the third type of judgment. We need this background to study Jeremiah. In Revelation chapter 20, in verse 11, I saw a great white throne and Him who sat on it. And that is called the great white throne judgment, the judgment of all souls who have ever lived on this earth, who have not received the Lord Jesus. There are three judgments the Bible talks about. One, the judgment of believers, one, judgment of nations. The third is a great white throne judgment, the final one. Now, with that as a background, when we look into the book of Jeremiah, chapter 46 to 51, with the last chapter 52 concluding, we realize that he is talking about the present judgment of the nations around him. But it points to something further off. You see, prophecy have a dual fulfillment many times. Just as Jeremiah in his prophecy, in these three sections, the first section talks about the church age and the importance of the church age in the 11th hour fulfilling the fullness of the covenant of God. Then the middle section talks about the tribulation period when the Jews will be seeking for protection. Now, there will be a group of Jews in the tribulation age when the two witnesses appear, a group of Jews that will go into a place called the wilderness and they will be shielded and protected there. But there will be a group that will go with the Antichrist. That is the world. So, the middle section of Jeremiah talks about what happens after the rapture, the eschatological fulfillment. The direct fulfillment is exactly what happened in that nation in that time. Then the third portion of Jeremiah talks about the judgment that occurred after the tribulation period. So you could see the eschatological fulfillment even in the book of Jeremiah. And so here we have in chapter 46 right to 51, the judgment of the nations around as they occur on earth. It was all judgment that will take place on this earth. Then it points in an eschatological manner, where if chapter 1 to 39 represent the church age, chapter 40 to 45 represent the Jewish age of the 7 years tribulation. 7 years and half of those years are tribulation years. Half of the 7 years. And then the final part would point to the judgment of nations. Now, what would the judgment of nations consist of? We realize here that Almighty God created the heavens and the earth. And He has made all of us with a responsibility to live according to our conscience, to be righteous and to do right. And that is required of all men, all tribes and all peoples. Notice in the book of Jeremiah chapter 46 onwards that the judgment was based on whether they recognized Almighty God. Look very carefully. It was based on whether they recognized Almighty God or not. In chapter 40, looking here at, for example, at chapter 46, verse 25, there was judgment on the first nation, and that was Egypt, and it was specially mentioned, it's because of the false worship and false gods. In other words, they did not recognize Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and earth. They would rather recognize other things of their own creation and imagination. And God judges. Here in the book of Jeremiah 46 verse 25, is the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel says, "Behold, I will bring punishment on Ammon of Noah and Pharaoh and Egypt with their gods and their kings, Pharaoh and those who trust in him." Notice the mention of Pharaoh's gods, small g. And in the book of Exodus, all the 10 plagues, if you study based on the Jewish recordings, you find that all the 10 plagues was always against one of the false gods that the Egyptians worshipped. Like the plague of darkness was against the sun god. All of them. And then, in chapter, looking on here, we're picking portions of it that are very clear cut. Chapter 48, verse 35. On Moab, the Lord says, "Moreover, says the Lord, I will cause to cease in Moab the one who offers sacrifices in the high places and burns incense to his gods." Look at chapter 49, verse 1. "Has Israel no sons? Has he no heir? Why then does Milcom inherit Gad and his people dwell in it?" is called. Now Milcom is one of the Ammonite gods. Then we look here in chapter 50, Babylon in verse 2. "Declare among the nations, proclaim and set up a standard, proclaim and do not conceal it, say, Babylon is taken, Bel is shamed, Merodach is broken in pieces, her idols are humiliated, her images are broken in pieces." Now, in all those judgments, God seems to directly hit at false worship. God seems to require this. God seems to be saying these things, that He is the Almighty God, the God who created all the heavens and this earth. These heavens and this earth belong to Almighty God. And it requires of peoples everywhere to acknowledge Him. And sometimes they did what Romans chapter 1 says. Look at the book of Romans 1. Which is why God's heart becomes grieved. It says here in verse 20. Romans 1 verse 20 onwards. "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible," notice, "the incorruptible God, onto an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things." In other words, people didn't want to recognize the Almighty God. And God was grieved. And that was the reason behind the judgment of nations. See, it points to some details in the area. That always God seeks to reveal Himself over and over again. God has His witness on this earth. And God continued to draw the hearts of all men. And what about those who have not heard the gospel? And I have known God to be like this. The book of Acts chapter 10 tells us. that if there's a hungry man anywhere who does not really know God yet, like Cornelius, who has been so pious, giving alms, always praying to this God he doesn't know, but whom he acknowledged, God himself sends an apostle to tell him that the God you're worshipping is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Cornelius was not born again until after Peter came in Acts chapter 10. So that tells us something, that everywhere on this planet earth, God looks down and sees those, even people who do not know Jesus yet, people who cry out unto this God who is the creator of the heavens and earth. And somehow, he will bring the gospel to them, or he will bring them to the gospel. That's the mercy of our God. He's looking for acknowledgement of Him as our Creator, Almighty Creator. Let's bow down and worship our living God. Father God, we acknowledge You. And You are a God to be acknowledged and to be worshipped, O God. Father, we pray that we would turn our entire hearts and minds and beings to You, to constantly acknowledge that this whole earth is filled with Your glory. And all that You have placed on this earth are for the good of Your people and for the blessings of humanity and mankind. And oh Father God, we recognize, Lord, that this whole earth belongs to You. And we humans are just Your creation. And we want to acknowledge You, oh God. We want to acknowledge Your existence. We want to acknowledge Your intervention. We want to acknowledge Your revelation in Jesus Christ. Father God, we come and bring the entire earth to You. We pray, oh God, that the revelation and the recognition of God, even in this age and time, when we see atheism fall apart and systems that are atheistic fall apart, we pray, oh God, that there be a rising of systems that are theistic, Lord. Systems that recognize the existence of God and that will glorify God and that will seek to live according to moral laws of the conscience and of God. We pray, O Father God, that You cause to come upon this earth in these last days a revelation of the Almighty God.